Sometimes it just don't pay to be the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. The Admiral Horatio Lord Nelson of Medicare Podcasts. What has he done for you lately? It's Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Why, thank you, Drew McMillan. You're one of my very favorite nephews. Out of all my nephews and nieces, you are one of my very favorite ones. Thank you so much for that beautiful introduction. And the audience applause is just makes me want to blush and say pshaw. I say pshaw way too often, but thank you, everyone. Thank you for joining us here at the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. This is episode 56, and we're recording it on May 12th of 2020. Thank you for joining us once again. If I don't say that often enough, then just assume that I've said it a few times. The podcast is designed to help people overcome their fear of having to learn about Medicare. It's a scary, complex subject, and I say lazy people of all persuasions, lazy men, lazy ladies, can be helped through the Medicare maze with a little loving and tender care from us, because it's not that difficult. There are only a couple of decisions you have to make, and it's not that tough to get a handle on Medicare for most people. Some people have complex situations. That's a whole different story. Now, I've said we a couple of times, and the we I'm talking about is my pal, Randy Carson. Hello, Randy. How are you?
Mr. Jones, I'm doing just really well. I had a great weekend, and now we're rolling up on Tuesday doing some podcast recording. And
if I were to ask you what you did over the weekend, would you be able to come up with an answer?
No, I worked. It's the problem with owning your own business, as you know, Doug.
But your business seems to be thriving when other businesses seem to be dropping dead, dying. You know, on the vine.
That is very true. Most of our business, we're actually busier than we normally are during this time. I don't know just exactly what to chalk that up to, but a good friend of mine had a joke he used to use about the weekend with a small business. Somebody said, it starts out by saying, yeah, this isn't a 40 hour a week job. And he'd say, yeah, there's Saturday and Sunday too.
How many hours a day are those?
That's right.
Yeah. When you work for yourself, the problem is you probably work for the worst slave driver in the world.
Well, it is because, well, you know, if you don't do it, there's nobody else to point your finger at. So
I try. I find people, I yell at them, do this, do that. Nope. They don't do it. Not unless I give them money. I suppose if I gave people money, they would do things for me, but well, I'm too cheap for that.
You never know. It was a great weekend. Everything's going well. I think the rain we've been getting has been surprising me. I have never really remembered in this type of rain coming in May.
Well, now I saw the dark clouds 3 days ago south of here, and I heard it rained in Mesa. And for those who are unaware or have, you know, new listeners to the podcast, we're located near Cave Creek, Arizona. I'm in Cave Creek. Randy is down the hill, not too far out of town. And we had dark clouds in the southern sky. And then the next day, those clouds kind of moved up and covered us, most of us, although I could see blue sky to the north of us. And then that night it rained. That was not last night. So that was two nights ago that it actually rained here. Did you have rain that was different than that? Did you have more frequent rain than that?
I think we got pretty much the same rains that you are referring to, but we had some hellacious thunder and lightning.
I saw a lot of thunder and lightning out there, but it didn't really affect my day.
It was like 2 o'clock in the morning, and I'm, you know, like, 85.7% asleep.
Uh-huh.
And then I'm sitting there going, you know, in my dream, and I don't know whether I'm dreaming or whether I'm hearing real or, you know, just exactly where I'm at in that, you know, between those two opposite ends of the spectrum. And finally I woke up and I'm thinking in my head, oh, this can't be thunder. It can't be rain. This doesn't happen.
Yeah.
But it did.
Wow. Well, I don't remember that anything happened that I was able to hear in the middle of the night, but while I was watching television, facing the northwest up towards I-17 and the Prescott area, I was seeing all kinds of lightning and thunder. Maybe not that far away. It might have been a lot closer, like a couple of miles away, whereas Prescott's probably an hour away. So I would say that we had lightning and thunder, but we didn't have rain at the same time. Now, folks, for those of you not familiar with the Arizona desert lifestyle, what we're talking about here is rain that is so infrequent that when it happens, or when it looks like it's going to happen, it's something that we call our neighbors and chit-chat about for hours on end. And that's what Randy and I almost fell into right now, is talking about rain. Other parts of the country, rain is something that happens all too frequently.
Well, yeah. If you were back in the Midwest and I was back in the Midwest, this would be the last thing in the world we'd be talking about. In Cave Creek, Arizona, it rains. We all go run out, you know, and look up in the sky like, you know, a bunch of turkeys in a pen.
Yeah. Years ago, I visited a friend of mine, stayed with him several days. It was, it had not rained for 1 year, almost a year to the day. So 364 days without rain. And all of a sudden, his phone started ringing off the hook, and people are calling him, and then he's calling other people. And it was because there was a chance of rain the following day, and they were all excited about it. They were spreading the word. I don't know what they were going to do, go out and dance around in it naked or something, but it was there was a big deal for those people for having gone for 1 year without rain southeast of Phoenix.
Yeah, but you just never know what they're going to do out here.
Well, I guess it's time to close the episode out. So any last words or thoughts that we should?
No, we should talk about something.
Did I forget to talk?
As related to Medicare, I think.
Have I forgotten why we're here?
Why don't we do this? I have always had a bunch of questions, never quite got my head around health spending accounts and that whole business.
Well, I can help you.
Didn't you have some notes around that one day that you said, we should talk about that?
Yes, I did. And then we lost interest in the subject. But I think maybe I figured out a way to make it more interesting. And I would like to involve you in the content for today. So, okay, let's do that. Let's talk about the kinds of things that you can buy tax-free if you have a health savings account or a flexible spending account, or I suspect if you have a Medicare savings account, an MSA. I talked about MSAs a couple of episodes ago because they're kind of a newer product that people can buy that are on Medicare. Typically, when you're on Medicare and you want to protect yourself against outrageous medical expenses, your two choices are to buy a Medicare Advantage plan, which Randy refers to as Medicare Disadvantage, or a Medicare Supplement plan, which I refer to as the greatest thing ever in the area of protecting yourself against Medicare or medical expenses. So savings, Medicare Supplement, good. Medicare Advantage, bad. And then a few episodes ago, I talked about the Medicare MSA, so far offered only by one company in all the states that I, or in a lot of states that I know of, Lasso Healthcare, LASSO Healthcare. And they have an MSA product that is defined as a Medicare Advantage plan, but it doesn't smell or taste like a Medicare Advantage plan. So I'm not inclined to steer people away from it like I would a normal Medicare Advantage plan. I say your odds of being unhappy with a Medicare Advantage plan are pretty darn high. This Medicare Advantage plan sounds like it's right up my alley if you have to go with a Medicare Advantage plan. It involves the government giving the insurance company a bunch of money, which they deposit in an account that has your name on it, you, the insured, the Medicare participant. So you got a bunch of money in this account. Now, if you don't spend any of it, it's tax-free income to you as long as you either don't spend it or spend it only on qualified medical stuff. And the next year, they'll give you another hunk of money to go in that account. And if you live for 50 years, you're going to have 50 times that amount of money, and you're going to have just tons and tons of money that you received free of taxation. Now, if you take any of that money out and go to the movies or go to Hawaii or go to Jamaica or go to Europe or go buy your wife a very expensive birthday present, you're going to have to pay taxes on that money. But if you take the money out and purchase things from the qualified list of items that you're allowed to purchase, you don't have to pay income tax on that money. That's just like having a job and not having any income tax withheld. So I've got a big long list here of qualified items that you can buy tax-free with your health savings account funds, your flexible spending account funds, or your Medicare savings account funds. Now, this is not for health reimbursement accounts because those are individually negotiated and they might have a different list. So HRAs, this doesn't apply to you necessarily, but for HSAs, FSAs, and MSAs. So let's get into the list. And what I thought I'd do originally is ask Randy what he thinks, whether he thinks certain items would be eligible for tax-free reimbursement. In other words, can you take your money out without paying income tax on that expenditure? So if I were to say, I want to go out and buy abdominal supports, would I be able to do that and then not, and have that be considered a qualified medical expense?
If it's related to an approved medical device that someone in the world needed and recognized as a device that was helpful for whatever ails you, I would say yes.
You might set a new record for the length of episodes if you're going to pontificate like that on every answer. So yes or no would be sufficient. In this case,
I'll shorten it down next time.
Well, you're exactly right. The abdominal supports, whatever the heck they are. I don't even know what they are.
I don't know what an abdominal, I think my belt buckle is an abdominal support.
By the time I get my mind tightened after a big dinner, it becomes an abdominal support. But it is eligible. In other words, you could buy an abdominal support, whatever the heck it is, without having to pay income tax at the end of the year for money that you withdrew to purchase something that wasn't qualified. These are all qualified things that you can buy with your pre-tax dollars. And that, you know, if you're in the 50% tax bracket, that means that the government is paying 50% of the cost of these things. Abortion is on the list. Would you think abortion would be eligible or not?
Depends. I'm going to have a tough one with
okay,
that
TikTok,
one.
TikTok.
I'm going to choose to take the Fifth Amendment.
All right. Well,
Amendment
it is a touchy
one.
Political subject, but in this case, for this list of things, abortion is an eligible expense to use your pre-tax money on. Now, how about an air conditioner or an air purifier?
Yes.
You're half right. Potentially.
Was that short enough?
That was
yes
perfect.
And no.
Potentially eligible. And I guess that means you have to explain why you need it to somebody. But the other thing is, these are considered capital expenditures. And I don't know how those are treated differently. They're certainly treated differently on this list. Here's one that I might be needing in the future if lockdown continues much longer. Alcoholism treatment. You think that's eligible or not?
I would say yes. Yeah, well, most of us need a haircut, too. Does that qualify?
I was ordered. The spousal unit has made an appointment for me on Friday at noon. I'll be shorn of my locks.
It's like we're all walking around here like Grizzly Adams going, oh, my God, we're in tough shape here. Who knew that the world ran on haircuts?
Well, actually? I normally get my hair cut by a woman in Illinois, but since I'm not there now and my wife is tired of bitching at me, she made an appointment. But this happened a couple of years ago when I had a wedding to go to, made an appointment at the same shop with what I've been told is this beautiful Russian lady. I go there and it's her ugly Russian husband.
Boris.
I think that might be his name. Then I took my photograph out because I didn't want any question about what I wanted to look like. I did not want to look like a Russian. And so I took my picture out of my pocket and he put it up on the shelf in front of us. And he kept referring to it like a painter refers to a still life. He was holding his thumb up for perspective and everything. I think he might have been making fun of me. But
I trust me, he was trying to do his best. But, you know, ultimately, I'm not sure he got there because, you know, barbers, there's stylists, and then there's barbers. I have gone to both, and a barber is, no matter what you ask for, you all come out looking the same. That's a barber, usually.
Well, fortunately, I'm not able to see myself that often, but this guy did a pretty okay job, so I'm not too afraid of going back there. But typically, I stay with the person until they die or, you know, are crippled up and can't cut hair anymore. And then I go find, I'll follow them home and make them cut my hair at their house.
That's right. Yeah. My last barber before the one I have now actually did die. Well, he had a massive coronary and it was a terrible thing. And I had gone to him for 12 years and then I'm going, well, what do I do now? I got to find another barber. And you and I live in general same vicinity and there's not a lot of choice in our vicinity.
Right. Absolutely right. Well, this guy's down in Stagecoach Village and there's always plenty of parking if you want to go down there.
I may have to try that. Right now I'm floating between several looking for the best fit. And so far I'm not sure I found the best fit
yet. Understood. So. Yeah. It's a crapshoot. You sit down in somebody's chair. The woman in St. Charles that I've been going to in Illinois for a long time knows my head, but she can't get it out of her mind that I want to see the back of my head. Ladies like to do that with themselves. She shoves a mirror in front of me every goddamn time. And then I say, look, I can't see the back of my head. Don't show me. I don't want to know.
I can't see it. If I do see it, all it's going to do is disappoint me.
Yes, it's like it doesn't exist. Don't even waste my time with it. Put that mirror away. So here are two other items, athletic club memberships and automobile modifications. Are those things, can you spend your pre-tax money on those?
I think on the health club membership, yes.
Potentially, and yes.
In terms of the car modification, in the case of like your vet, if you were to put a blower on it, it would be tax deductible.
You really hate my hood, don't you? You want me to cut a big old hole in the hood. Well, I was thinking about sneaking up on it by putting fuel injection on it first. And it says here potentially eligible. So if I had a flexible spending account, I would give it a try.
I want to see a blower sticking out of your hood where the little butterfly valves, I want to see those running.
Yes. Well, I do like the concept. When my daughter was small, I made a model of a 57 Chevy, and then we turned it into a gasser with a big old blower sticking out of the hood. I'm very partial to those kinds of things. Now, here, one thing I should say, anybody who has these accounts and is looking for solid information from us, first of all, you got a long wait. And secondly, it might be that you can get away with spending, you know, going to Las Vegas and putting $1,000 on 13 black. And hoping it comes up. Unless you get audited by the IRS, it's unlikely that you're going to really suffer the consequences of spending money on a forbidden item. So when I tell you that these things are eligible or ineligible, it doesn't mean you can't roll the dice and see if you get caught. Of course, I'm not advocating breaking the law, but here are a couple other things. Behavioral modification programs. Mary signed me up for a bunch of those, and none of them worked. Those are potentially, it's unfair for me to ask you if they're potentially eligible because that could go either way. Breast reconstructive surgery, potentially. And then it says breast reduction surgery that is medically necessary. When has that ever been medically necessary?
Not in my book.
Speaking as a guy in America, that's just
not in my
wrong.
Book. No. I do have a question though. We're coming down.
Please,
to
ask
our gasoline is running short on the old fuel gauge here. But I do have quite this. This is going to come into the context of Stump the Expert.
Okay.
So let's pretend.
Where's that expert?
Oh, darn it. I forgot to bring the expert. You should have reminded me. I want to know if, okay, let's pretend that this particular guy or gal is incredibly healthy and never spent a nickel. Oh, it's the crickets.
The crickets are just tired of hearing what you're talking about, I guess.
Know. I'm going to have to shut the crickets up here.
Is that an editorial comment of some kind?
That's right. So I want to know if I'm one of these people that's incredibly healthy and the government has been stashing in, you know, X number of bucks in my account all these years, and I've been a good customer and I only spent it when I needed it on the right stuff. So let's pretend I'm, you know, like 800 years old now and I have a whole truckload of money in that account.
Right. Everybody's goal.
So what happens to that truckload of money if, you know, if I die off and I never got to spend anything?
It goes to your heirs. But once again, that money was given to you tax-free. And the government never does that voluntarily. So I suspect that your heirs would inherit that money, but they would have to pay the income tax on it, probably, that you would have paid. Now, I have to say, for people who haven't listened to this podcast before, I don't know what I'm talking about half the time, and especially about tax, intricate tax law. However, I know the government has given the money to you to use to defray medical costs, including the items on this list that we're talking about. And I know that if you die with a pile of that money in your account, the government would like to have gotten its tax revenue from that pile of money. So the money is still yours, but the tax obligation, I'll bet, would follow through to your heirs. That's my educated guess.
I can imagine you're right, but the government giveth and the government taketh away. We have good news and we have bad news. Grandpa made it to the end without spending a nickel out of his account. That's the good news. The bad news is the government is waiting with their hand out.
That's right. There's a guy in a cheap suit on your front porch waiting to come back from the funeral.
It might even be the Men in Black.
Well, if you say we're running out of time, then perhaps we should pick this up and finish the list another time. It always seems to lead to additional discussion on some of these items. Some of them are more interesting than others, and I haven't gotten to the interesting ones yet. So I'm going to leave this in your capable hands. If you'd like, we can do our next episode and finish the list of qualified items for pre-tax expenditures out of your FSA, your MSA, or your HSA, but not your HRA.
Okay, now I'm really confused.
Or do you want to bag the whole thing and pretend it never happened?
This is like me in Ireland now. I just hold out my hand with a pocket full of change going, take what you want. I have no clue what any of this money is or what it's worth.
And it all has pictures of the Queen on it, though, doesn't it?
That's right. So all of these MSAs, RMAs, you know, CTOs, GTOs, all those things. I don't know. I've lost what we're talking about now in terms of the specifics.
And this subject matter is only going to appeal to those people that have these kinds of accounts. And the reason I bring it up is because there are more and more people enjoying the benefits of these accounts. One of the benefits is having a very inexpensive insurance plan to go along with them. So while Randy hyperventilates, he's laughing, he's turned the volume up. Oh no, he's got the volume on. He's laughing silently, but almost incomprehensibly. I've never seen a live human being. Now he's out of the camera range. Jeez, I don't know what I did, but I know it's my fault. I'm sorry. The whole point of this thing is that a lot more people have these accounts, and there are many things they can buy. pre-tax, and there are many things that they're not allowed to use their pre-tax dollars for. I was trying to make that list more interesting than obviously it turned out to be. So perhaps I should just say, go to some government website, look for the list of eligible medical expenses that you can pay for with your pre-tax dollars. I think you'll be surprised at some of them. Circumcision is one of them. Cleaning service, but enough. Randy.
I've got to ask this. So this is probably way too much information, but I never envisioned someone on Medicare needing that particular procedure.
Well, you wouldn't think so, but stranger things have happened. And we have government bureaucrats who do nothing but sit around and think all day. And this is the kind of stuff they come up with. So I can't explain it any further.
I'm amazed. And man, I am really happy that I've got somebody in Washington taking care of all of me, down to the point that I don't even know if I need it, but they've got it there for me.
Yeah, believe it or not, I was actually going to get into some educational areas here. For instance, coinsurance amount for health, dental, or vision insurance. If you've got dental insurance and you get a cavity and they pay 80% of the cavity cost to treat the cavity, then the 20%, you could reach into your FSA account and pay for it with pre-tax dollars. Now, that's kind of educational. That's the kind of service I thought I'd be providing for the audience today.
Well, and it turned out you did. I got sidetracked there a little bit.
Well, we were about to go off the rails again, because coming up pretty soon was dancing lessons. So I'm sorry,
dancing?
But
oh, seriously, Doug?
Yes.
You can get your dancing lessons paid for by Medicare?
This is what that government bureaucrat came up with right after circumcision. He went right from C to D.
You know, that's a C, circumcision, dancing lesson. What's an E?
Listen, they don't give a lot of explanation about any of this stuff, but if you want me to go to an E, I'll show you, Buster. I'll just show you right now.
Show me an E.
Expectorants.
Oh.
Okay. All right. This is why I thought we could get some real meat into this episode.
Oh,
Randy and I had a long conversation about a subject, and here is the item right here. Randy, this item was put on this list with you in mind. It's elevator. You can get an elevator with your pre-tax dollars.
I can?
Now, I know for a fact from a new housing development in Cave Creek that the elevators cost $30,000 to $35,000 extra.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you get two closets. And so, since you and I discussed putting an elevator in your house,
yes.
Think how much money you would have to earn after tax in order to pay for an elevator.
Yeah,
exactly. You could have one with pre-tax dollars.
That's right.
So, elevator. I don't know. We could probably milk this for another four episodes. But
could you get? Do they allow escalators?
I'm in the E's, so it should be easy to find. And I do not see escalator listed. I don't think they want people to buy escalators for their houses. I will tell you that one of the noisiest places I've ever been, there was a John Hancock office building built in 1952. It was the tallest building in New England at that time. The first, I think, 19 floors, you walk into this room, this giant room, and it's all escalators going up and going down, and they run 24/7, and they're noisy. Clank, 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 clank. That's just the first floor. And it's a big open 19-story room. You look up, and all you see is escalators going back and forth, and they're always running. I don't know why somebody thought that would be a good idea. They just run 24/7, and they're making all kinds of noise. You're deaf. Your ears are ringing when you walk out of that room into a hallway. Like if you're going to the seventh floor, it seems like a lot of work. You get off and get on the other direction.
You got to go around the corner and go up again. I know.
Fortunately for me, they labeled every floor. Otherwise, I would have forgotten how many times I've gone from 2 to 3, now 3 to 4. Okay, have I gone past 7 yet? I don't know.
Where am I?
Okay, enough about the John Hancock 1952. You know, bad idea still lives on, I believe. That's the Berkeley Building. If any of you are going to Boston, you want to look at which of the many Hancock buildings those escalators are in, that's on Berkeley Street, I guess. Anyway, so I guess we should wrap it up, and maybe I should continue this into another episode.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think
if you change your mind and say no, that's okay.
I think it's good information. This is stuff that nobody really, unless pushed to know, knows, you know? So I think...
Okay, well then we'll do it again.
I think there's a good bit of information here. So I think we need to continue it.
Okay.
This is one we need to wind down to the end, though.
I hate to leave people hanging, so I will make that commitment to do another episode, probably the next episode. So any of you that don't care about this, you just go ahead and skip the next episode. There won't be anything interesting for you in that episode. And that'll be coming up in a couple of days, I guess, unless today is Friday.
There is, however, good stuff at Amazon. Go to Amazon, buy your book if you haven't got one yet. Buy several, because everybody's at home right now during the pandemic looking for something to read. This should be it.
I did want to say something about my book on Amazon. It the paperback and the ebook have both been number one on most days since number one in their category. Number one bestseller, big orange ribbon on each listing. Lately, the paperback book has not been, and I couldn't figure out what knocked it off of its number one position. It's been like number two or three. And it turns out it's what I think is a textbook on health, in not health insurance, health care policy in the United States, and how it was created and all that stuff. It's a textbook, and it costs $203. And it's outsold my best-selling book? I don't think so. Homie, don't play that. I believe what happened is that the algorithm at Amazon takes into account the revenue that Amazon collects for the item it sells as part of its listing as number one or number two or number three bestseller. So all it takes is a couple of people buying a $203 book, and you got a number one bestseller on your hands. Whereas mine, which is so much more affordable at $11.75 today, you got to buy a lot of those to add up to $200 or $400.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
And that ladies and gentlemen, you ought to see Randy's face. He's not sympathetic at all to the plight of the struggling young author.
A $200 book. Well, the only thing that could possibly be good for is a college class or to prop up your table.
Yeah, you got to have a pretty expensive table to want a $200 prop, because I can make one for you out of the Sunday paper for a lot less than that.
That's true. That's true. Or back in the day when we were, you know, in the Midwest and the table rocked on the floor in the local restaurant, there was matchbook covers underneath there.
Absolutely. But now they don't do that, because if you're in a drunken car accident and the cops happen to find a matchbook on you, then somebody's going to go back and sue the place where you got the matchbook, assuming that they overserved you and caused the accident.
That's possible.
Well, I think that's happened a lot, and that's why
I'm sure it has.
The match industry has fallen on hard times because of that.
Yeah, they all sell matchbooks pointing to this one pub, you know, yeah, over
the guy they don't like.
Yeah. Yeah, we went to Jose's place, and then right after that, we went to Wayne's.
Yeah, and then, but the matchbook says Leroy's, down the block and around the corner. Okay, I do want to say that if you'd like to comment on our goofing around here, or ask questions about Medicare, because we do have serious questions that we answer all the time, please send your questions or comments to dbj@mlmmailbag.com, and we will address everything that you send us. And what do we want to do? Subscribe and follow this podcast, if you will. A review here and there would be very nice. Randy mentioned the book. You can buy it at Amazon. You can buy it at barnesandnoble.com. And we have a fantastic website, MedicareForTheLazyMan.com, that Randy and his crack staff designed for us, where soon you'll be able to buy your Medicare supplement, depending on where you live, from our website without having to put up with any dopey insurance types hanging around your house. So I'd like to say that that's going to be advantageous for a lot of people. So that's, I think, everything. Is that everything?
I think we covered everything. Again, thank you all for joining us. We all know we could have been seven other places, but you weren't. You were here listening to Doug, giving a lot of great Medicare insurance information. And it's all useful. It's all worthwhile. But thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for attending. And we'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
You have now spent just about, 33 and a half minutes?
That's what you have said most frequently.
I'm not sure I believe it. Yep, with Doug Jones, the anti-insurance guy with MedicareForTheLazyMan.com.